ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of the NRL's official watches and rings. And they've been designing and making the grand final ring with passion for the last 17 years. For official NRL watches and jewellery, engagement or wedding rings, corporate gifts or remodelling and repairs, ZNZ's your place. See ZNZ at Westfield Hurstville or visit znz.com.au. Proud sponsors of the Parramatta Eels and St George Junior referees.
Right now, Toyota Material Handling has a great offer on forklift rentals. Rent any forklift for 6 weeks or more and get an extra week's rent free. It could save you hundreds. Toyota Material Handling is Australia's number one in new and used forklift sales, short or long-term forklift hire, and all forklift servicing. Call Toyota Material Handling now on 1-800-425-438 or visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Terms and conditions apply. Offer ends August 31.
If you're building a house, you'll want the highest quality lintels at the lowest possible price. For concrete lintels, galvanized steel lintels, render mesh bars, T-bars and other steel building products, the Builders Steel Direct team can't and won't be beaten on price or service. Next day delivery is guaranteed. For the best lintels, T-bars, render mesh and arch bars at unbeatable low prices, check out builderssteeldirect.com.au or call Builders Steel Direct, the lintel specialists. 9623 8584.
Dynamic Syndications and trainer Gerald Ryan offer a half brother to multiple Group 1 winner Bentley Biscuit. Buy Schnitzel. Outstanding sire now with 31 stakes winners, 5 at Group 1 level. His progeny reached 2.2 million, averaging 234,000. From Tycoon Joy, dam of Bentley Biscuit, winner of 12 races, including 3 Group 1 victories. Join Dynamic Gerald Ryan. He's king of the Schnitzels. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. 50 months interest-free. That's zero interest and no deposit until July 2019. Technology, entertainment and home appliances, furniture, bedding in Manchester. 50 months interest-free store-wide. Zero interest, no deposit with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2019. Approved applicants only. Minimum finance amount $490. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store and online. Harvey Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now.
Go!
Starter has the button, stalls are back and racing.
Fields bent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk. With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
10:03 with Tab Talk. Good morning, Sean Cosco with you and from tab.com.au. Nick Quinn, good morning, Quinny.
Good morning, Cozzy.
Big weekend, and I mean, mate, firstly, how could you have backed Melbourne to beat Geelong by that margin? That if you've done that, you are a genius and you deserve to win well.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Cats really stung punters, including the bad hit with bloke with hair you're talking to, Cozzy. They were $1.16 into $1.10 and really never gave a yelp, which was disappointing for such a big day. But having a look at some of the other games, and there's plenty of them on offer as well, and the golf's still in offer as well. Now, Jason Day is right in the hunt. It'd be a remarkable story because he's battling all those issues at the moment, but he's not without a chance. So hopefully Jason Day can rally. If you want to have a live bet, you can do so by calling 1-333-90. He hasn't had a great start today, unfortunately. He's still in the hunt, but he's now out to $12 in the live betting. Dustin Johnson, he's made a solid start. He's all the way now into $1.80, favourite from Jordan Spieth. Those two were the two best back players heading into the tournament. So hopefully there's some punters out there with nice tickets. But obviously, as we well know with the golf, there can be plenty of thrills and spills between now and then.
Quinny, I've got to say that course, and we spoke about it last week, it looks like lunar landscape. It unbelievable, the rough in it. When you land in the rough, you could find someone sleeping in there, and where your ball landed, it's that long. The hills, the valleys, the dips, and the greens, everything looks just absolutely lightning fast. And to see some putts, which have surprised me, and I'm not criticising, these guys are brilliant, but sometimes from less than a metre they're missing, the greens must be just electrically fast.
Yeah, I think we're so used to seeing these stunning courses when we watch the American golf, but this doesn't really appear to be one of them. So hopefully it plays well for a few of the punters that get involved still. But Jason Day, he's in with a hunt. It would be a fairy tale story because obviously he's battled health issues, not just throughout the tournament, but really the last couple of years in his career as well. So oh, geez, it'd be great. But unfortunately, as I said, he hasn't made a blistering start. And Dustin Johnson, who has been playing so well, does look the man to beat at this stage.
Yeah, now, he suffered from vertigo, I think it was, on the weekend, yes, wasn't he, where he collapsed on the track.
He's had to actually pull out from a few tournaments in the last few years. He's one over today. He's three under par. But Dustin Johnson, he's now two under today. He's six over overall, and he's a two-shot leader. So he's going to be mighty hard to run down, Dustin Johnson, because he's just so consistent.
All right, 10:05 now. I can tell you the Jockeys Premierships are wonderful battles at the moment. The one in Melbourne is an absolute cracker. You've got Damien Oliver on 47 winners and 32 seconds. Craig Williams, 47 winners, 39 seconds. And on top, on the leaderboard, Dwayne Dunn on 48 winners, 57 seconds. He's had an incredible season, Dwayne. And joins us now. Morning, Dwayne. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
You've had a great season, although at one part, it stagnated around Christmas time. I think you went 79 rides without a winner. So to be where you are now, it's been a bigger comeback than Dane Nelly, hasn't it, really?
Oh, I don't know about that. I'd like to exchange my seconds for wins, and it makes the whole premiership turn upside down. But things did go quiet through the Christmas period, and step back on the accelerator now, and hopefully we can keep charging forward.
You've had a great year. It was just for that one rotten little lull. Going back probably 12 months before, I think it was, Dwayne, you were going well also, but a bulging disc in the back caused a few problems for you.
Yeah, it certainly did. It looked like it was probably going to be one of those career-ending things, and being able to bounce back off of that and be competitive. So really happy to be up there with the lads going into the end of the season.
Did that rule you out for a period of time when you had that at the disc?
Yeah, I had about 6 months off, cortisone injections, quite a fair bit of physio and a few other things. So it's something that's not going to go away. You probably may have noticed a couple of weeks ago I only rode sort of 1 or 2 days a week for probably 3 or 4 weeks there, just to let it settle down so I could get through to the end of the season.
Now, often with jocks, we hear of hips going as well. It's like that lower back region is the one that causes problems because you're positioned in the saddle, really. The rest of the body all right, or is it just the back that's the problem?
Yeah, as you keep getting told, age doesn't help you as you're getting older. Mine's actually different. Mine's in the neck with my bulging disc, so it's not down low.
Right.
And it's probably one of those things with actually wearing a helmet race days, adding a bit more weight to the neck, which doesn't help things in the position we're in. But it's just something I need to manage, and hopefully I can stay around for a lot longer yet.
Well, you've had a terrific record. We look forward to the Blue Diamond every year. It's been a beauty. I think you've undoubtedly, for Mark Cavanagh, opened the floodgates for you.
Yeah, certainly did. He was the beginning of four. So, yeah, no, it's just one of those days. It just seems to fall into place for me there for 4 years. So, no, really enjoyed it. It's just one of those things that it's been good for my career, and it's probably been a real turning point to help me go forward.
Dwayne, Nick Quinn here. Well done on Saturday. And obviously you had a big decision to make during the week, but you must be confident you pulled the right rein. Obviously foregoing the ride on Lomosti in the Group 1 up in Queensland to stick in Melbourne. I think that just goes to show what winning this premiership would mean to you.
Yeah, it's easy in hindsight to look back now. But, I probably don't realise how much it does mean to you because I haven't won one yet. Having Craig and Damien in the room, they want to win this thing, and they're very passionate about it. So it's probably one of those things you'll appreciate it more after you've probably done it. But as it turned out in hindsight, everything fell into place. I was just a little bit concerned. Lomosity had had a real gut buster in the lead-up race, and I thought it was hard to turn it around on for Candy, which obviously that's the way that played out.
Well, there we go. You've got a future career being a form analyst and professional tipster once you do retire, if you're going to be tipping them that well. But obviously it's going to be a big 5 weeks. Obviously Craig and Damien will be desperate to win the title as well. What's your strategy? Obviously just ride every Wednesday and Saturday, get as many rides as you can, and obviously try not to get suspended.
Yeah, suspension and injury obviously play a big part leading forward now. And it was probably... helped me going to Pakenham on Friday. Got me in a pretty good mindset. I had a really good day and was able to take that forward into Saturday. So I think confidence and form heading forward into this last 4 weeks is going to play a big part. And hopefully it's very competitive right to the wire.
Well, as you said, Dwayne, you racked up 6 in 2 days, 2 trebles back-to-back, the Valley, and prior to that, Pakenham. That synthetic track at Pakenham, for punters who are still looking at having a bet on something new, how do you find it to ride?
Yeah, it's really good to ride. I've you know, I led on one and got the money, and I came from last in the last race. So it's playing very fair. I feel it's riding a lot better than what Geelong is as far as the smoothness goes into the home bend and you finish off position that you need to get to. And, it looks a really nice surface, and hopefully the punters warm to it. As you said, I did actually have four winners there on Friday, yeah. But I lost one on protest. But it's probably just yep. the way things go. But, no, really good form, and, it's a really nice track, and hopefully we're going to see a fair bit more of it going into the future.
Dwayne,
we got Thursday, Friday there.
Two things I've noticed. There doesn't seem to be much kickback on it, for a start.
No, it sort of lifted a little bit on Friday, but the boys said they just fluffed it up a little bit more than what they have been. There's no problems with the kickback. It's just a little bit fluffier than what they've had mm-hmm. it. So it's just one of those things. They just we'll probably tinker a little bit on how they set it into each meeting.
The other thing is probably a silly question, but do those tracks take a little time to bed in when you race on them? I mean, has it raced differently from the first meeting through till now?
I'm not really. I only rode that was the first time I'd ridden on it. It was on Friday, so I don't really know. But you've only got about 100, 150 mil of that surface above a bitumen base. So
gee.
If you do hit the floor, you're not going to bounce that well. So, yeah, there's actually not that much coverage over a bitumen surface there. So
it's 6 inches.
Yeah, there's not much at all. So, if you crash, you're sort of more like Velcro. You seem to stick to it. So hopefully that doesn't happen to anyone. And,
no.
But it is a really nice surface. You don't feel a jar through the horse, and, it feels nice to ride on for sure.
Dwayne, one of your winners on Saturday, Alcohol, looked really promising early on in his career and didn't go on with it for a little bit there, but obviously now this campaign has come back with a couple of really good wins, was dominant on Saturday. How far do you think Alcohol can go?
Yeah, he's a real underachiever. You probably need to speak to Richard Jolly and have the conversation there. He advised me that every time he's just got him right, he seems to have an injury or something go wrong with him. He's just one of those horses that he hasn't been able to give him a full campaign and everything's gone nice for him. So he said this is the first time he's had him in a really good place. He's injury-free and, he's run really well in short races in Adelaide and then came here on Saturday and probably a little bit surprising he landed as close in the run as what he did, but if he can take up that position and still have the same finish, he's going to win a really nice race.
Dwayne, also, you've had a great association with some good trainers, the Hawks camp, even to the point of view of flying to Sydney and back and so forth to ride. All Too Hard, when you first hopped onto him, did you think he was going to be as good as what he turned out?
Yeah, there's just when you find these horses, it's amazing. The first time I trialled him, it was just like the hairs on my arms just stood up. It was like, wow, we've found ourselves a rocket. And, a lot of horses will show you plenty of potential, but not many take the road all the way to the top. But he certainly did. And it's a little bit unfortunate we don't see him still racing around because I think he could have won a Cox Plate and even gone to England and been more than competitive. So
he was.
He's been the best horse I've ever ridden. And, he's a real star. And unfortunately, we probably don't see the full potential of these stallions now because of the money that can be earned in the breeding barn. So, he was a star for sure.
Absolutely. The only time he was beaten in Melbourne was in the Cox Plate. That just goes to show how well he did go the Melbourne way of going. Now, Dwayne, obviously, big couple of weeks coming up. Are there one or two gallopers you're particularly looking forward to riding that can hopefully take you one step closer to winning that title?
Yeah, I don't have any stars there. There's just the same horses, Hawks are sending down some more from Sydney because of the weather up there. So hopefully they can send down horses like we've seen on Saturday that deserve to win their race. He looks like a really nice two-year-old with a lot of upside. He might have another run or two before the end of the season for me, which would be nice. But there's no real stars in my back pocket that I can pull out, and I'm sure Damien and Craig are looking for theirs.
Well, Dwayne, you've ridden in a few places. You've ridden all Adelaide and so forth around Australia here, obviously, but you're in Hong Kong for a while. You had a good stint there for a few years.
Yeah, I probably went to Hong Kong before it was really televised in Australia. We didn't have the coverage that we have now, and I started that in 2000 and finished up over there in around 2006. So had a really good time there. I've had quite a few offers to go back recently and just had to put them on the back burner while things are just ticking along as I would like here in Melbourne. So Australian racing is so good. The prize money is great at the moment. So it's probably keeping me here. But before I'd finished my career, I'd like to have another crack back overseas if it did eventuate.
Hong Kong, what is it about the place? Some jocks go there, you just said you had 6 years, which is wonderful. Others go there, they don't last long, and they're either see you later, they're out, or they bolt.
Yeah, there's a, I don't know, what is it, 10 million people or more in Hong Kong, and yeah, if you're not wanted, you feel a very lonely man. But yeah, when I first went to Hong Kong, I came off the back of a really solid stint in Adelaide. I think I had 34 winners for January out of 13 meetings. I just had a really hot streak and got the invitation there. And I was only there for 2 weeks and I had a bad crash. And I also did a few vertebrae in my back that time. And with the Chinese mentality is, if you had something really bad happen to you, you've got some really good luck coming. So the next time I went back there, I got really good support and things just flowed from there. But I remember when I first got there, you got jockeys like Murtaugh that rode there. I think he'd ridden 36 group winners for the season and before he got to Hong Kong, and he couldn't get a track work ride. So I was thinking, well, this is going to be tough work, and hopefully you found the right spot and got the right support. And that's exactly what I did. And yeah, no, it was a great time in my career. And yeah, I'd like to go back and finish off where I left off.
It's interesting with the Chinese being so superstitious and going for the eights and the numbers and the positive names, super champion and all this sort of stuff for the horses, that when you've had a tumble and you've only been there 6 or 8 weeks, probably haven't ridden many winners, they don't go, oh, you're unlucky.
No, that's right. I hadn't ridden a winner and, yeah, I'd only ridden a few meetings. And, yeah, there's Stephen Bastard was up there around about the time I was, and he was having a bad run as well. So they sent him to a Feng Shui master to get his name changed because that was bad luck. So that's how superstitious they are. Colours, yeah, and numbers are a big part of their culture. And, yeah, but once you get the support, like a Marrera or someone like that,
you're away.
They more than support you.
Dwayne, your son Dylan's ticking over very nicely. What's it been like having your son in the riding ranks?
Yeah, it takes a little while to get used to, just because you know they're in the race and around you and thinking about what they're doing. So it takes a while to just shut your mind off and get back to the job that is ahead of you. It's been great that he's been able to do as well as what he has, considering his weight restrictions restrict him to a minimum of 55 kilos. But he's had a long time riding in show horses and just on the pleasure side. So to take the transition into racing, it's been really comfortable for him, and he's doing a really good job. So, yeah, hopefully he can be around for a lot longer yet.
You half answered the question, but is it subconsciously harder to be so competitive against your son as you might be other riders?
I've played him that card all the way along, even if it was kicking the footy in the backyard. He had to earn it. I wasn't giving him anything. It's just more about, you know, there'd be nothing worse than, say, putting him on the floor or getting him injured through your own doing. So that's probably the nightmare that sits in the back pocket of your mind. And, apart from that, as competitive as we can be, we will be. And I'm happy to beat him. I think every time we clash, he either reminds me that he beat me home or I remind him that what the score is. So we play it on that level.
It's interesting what you say, Dwayne, because I think Dean Yendall is married to Christine Pools. And one day she had a tumble in a race. You can imagine the emotions going through him, thinking my wife's just hit the deck and I've got to continue riding out the race.
Yeah, that's correct. And one of the things that happened to Dylan and I was his first barrier trial, official barrier trial at Caulfield, at Cranbourne. And he led on a horse that I'd won on at Flemington, and I thought it'd be just a nice, easy trial for him. Robert Smurden's horse, and it snapped a leg just before the line.
Oh,
and he was out the side, both feet on one side, and got back on it, and I was just next to him. And I reverse parked my horse to go back and see how he was. So yeah, that was a bit of a shake up, but as you say, you've got to put those things aside, finish your job at hand, and then hopefully everything turns out after that.
Well, we wish you well. Finish the job and get that premiership under your belt. Appreciate your time this morning, Dwayne. Good luck too.
Oh, always a pleasure. And yeah, fingers crossed. Let's hopefully we can get this job done, and it'll be a great feather in my cap if I can make it happen.
Terrific. Good on you, Dwayne. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, Dwayne Dunn. Good to catch up with him there, and great effort. He's on 48 so far, and Craig Williams and the boys on 47, right in his hammer there.
Yeah, really good betting activity on the premiership as well, because he was $5 last week done, but as you could imagine, he's been a big firmer to come on and win the title. He's now the favourite at $2.60 to go on and win the premiership, and I dare say there'll be a lot of people who heard that interview might be cheering him on, because he's one of the good guys. Damien Oliver's on the next line of betting with Craig Williams at $2.90, so very competitive, Cozzy.
Yep, and Ollie will be back into the action.
Absolutely, Ollie will be back, Craig Williams will be back, both after disappointing stints in England, I think it must be said, as well as they rode, they'll be disappointed they didn't get better results, a couple of runners-up for both of them, but not a first place.
Yep, exactly, we'll take a look at the AFL in just a moment, we'll catch up with Neil Cordy. The golf, as we said, there's been a few outsiders, guys who were touted as huge odds at the start, got through and been figuring as we worked our way through that golf.
Yeah, Brandon Grace, he was $751 at the start of the tournament, so there'll be a few people that might have a ticket on him, but yeah. Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth are the two favourites. We're currently halfway through the final round of the final day, so the live betting really exciting at this stage, but Dustin Johnson, $1.90, Jordan Spieth, $3.25, then Brandon Grace, $5. Unfortunately, Jason Day has fallen away. He's one over today. Adam Scott, he's come from the clouds. He shot 6 under today. He's finished at 3 under the card, so he'd need the leaders to probably fall in a hole. But the way we've seen, you wouldn't rule it out happening, because it has been a bit of a tricky course, and there has been a few of the players have found it a little bit tough. However, having a look at the weather conditions, it is supposed to be quite user-friendly over the concluding three holes today. So the big guns will really get their chance to finish it off, but it's been a great US Open.
All right, Neil Cordy joins us now. Look at AFL for the weekend. Morning, Neil.
Morning, Sean.
Carlton, interesting, came out and belted Port Adelaide. They're saying give John Barker the job. Is that a compliment to John Barker, or is it looking at the players and saying, boys, were you putting in prior?
Yeah, well, it's a good question, Sean. I think, we usually see that sort of an effect when you do get a change of coach at a club that's been underperforming. There's often that rebound effect, and we've certainly seen that with Carlton. Brings into question where Port Adelaide are right now as well. But to stay on the Blues, they've really found an absolute gun in Patrick Cripps, who's the outright favourite to take the Rising Star. He had probably his best game. The second-year player, and had 31 disposals, a massive 12 tackles. And as Carlton go forward and look to rebuild, he's a very good player to have at the heart of your midfield.
It's incredible to think, Courts, that either Jesse Hogan or Cripps won't win the Rising Star, because they're two absolute standouts this year.
Yeah, look, it's interesting, Nick. Yeah, I was just looking at the Rising Star field. This is one of the best group of Rising Stars we've had in many years, because as well as Jesse Hogan and Patrick Cripps, Cam McCarthy, who's coming sixth in the Coleman medal from the Giants, he's an absolute gun. So is Isaac Heaney at the Swans, who's been out injured at the moment. Then you've got Corey Gregston from the Cats, Adam Sard at Gold Coast. It's a really deep year. Often you see in this award a runaway leader, but there's an amazing crop of young talent this year.
Interesting comments over the weekend from, I think it was Graham Corns, who described Adelaide's performance against, as Hawthorn's performance against Adelaide, as a bit unsavoury, some of the actions, some of the players.
Yeah, well, they've been known as the unsociable Hawks for good reason, Sean. We saw, it's just the aggressive nature of their play, and it's part of being the successful team that they are. If they're outside the rules, well, that's up to the umpires and the match review panel to adjudicate. They always play in that sort of aggressive, physical type of style. But the thing that really stands out to me with the Hawks is just their incredible depth and their skill level, which in my mind has them as the favourites. I know a lot of people like the Dockers right now, but I think the Hawks are still the team to beat, and they've got so many different avenues to goal. I think they average over 9 different goal scorers per week, which is clearly number one in the competition, and they were able to get the job done without goals from Jack Gunston and Jared Roughead against the Crows on the weekend. And they look, they've been a little bit of a spluttery start, made a little bit of a spluttery start with 4 losses in the first half, but I think they'll hit their straps and they'll probably take a top four spot off Collingwood in the back end.
Yeah, absolutely. They're starting to really hit the line nicely. And you do think that, like a horse race that's been set for a race in the Spring Carnival, they're just ticking over nicely because all they've got to do is finish top four and they're going to be mighty hard to beat. But the big firmer in the flag betting has been Sydney. Now, they've got a crucial game Friday night against Richmond, a team that did beat them last time they met in that famous game at the SCG where the Tigers snuck into a final spot. But the Swans, a pretty short price favourite at $1.25. Richmond at $4. The Tigers will be keen to bounce back after that loss to West Coast Friday night. But the Swans look mighty hard to beat again.
Yeah, look, I think they'll be very hard to beat, Nick. And, of course, it's going to be the celebration of the 10-year anniversary of the 2005 Premiership. And everybody's coming along. The only two who can't make it are the two players playing for St Kilda the following day in Sean Dempster and Adam Snyder. But even Paul Roos, get this, even Paul Roos, coach of Melbourne, and Ross Lyon, coach of Fremantle, are going to make it along for that particular event to be part of. I don't think they'll be part of the guard of honour that welcomes the current players out onto the field, but I believe that Paul Roos and Ross Lyon will both be there because both Melbourne and Fremantle have buys that weekend, which is how they've organised this thing. Of course, Ross Lyon was an assistant coach with John Longmire under Paul Roos back in 2005. So it's going to be a big occasion for the Swans, and they're purring along very nicely under the radar. You know, they've got a bit of cover from the Dockers and the Hawks in terms of favouritism, so they're perfectly placed where they like to be under the radar. But They've done nothing wrong in the first half of the year. They've gone 9-2, just a couple of close losses where they almost beat the Dockers in Perth, and then they had the upset one against the Bulldogs. But I expect the Swannies to handle the Tigers without too many problems.
Yeah, the Bulldogs game was the probably one banana skin for them for the season, but it's just going to be so crucial for them to finish top two because they could just basically take a carbon copy of the way they made the grand final last year, win round one, go straight through to a prelim, then go to the grand final. And if they go to the grand final, no matter who they play, you would imagine there'd be less pressure on them than last year because everyone just anticipated they'd roll up and win. We know that wasn't the case. But down the track, now Hawthorn lost the grand final to Sydney. They're expected to win. They've come out and won two subsequent flags. Mm. We could easily be saying the same thing about Sydney this year if they go all the way.
Look, Nick, you're absolutely right. If you look back over the last couple of decades, teams that have been favourite and been upset in the grand final, if you go back to 2008 when Hawthorn upset Geelong, they bounced back the very next year and won again. And we also seen, if you go back to North Melbourne when they were upset by Adelaide, came back in 99 and won again themselves. Hawthorn, as you say, in 2012 when the Swans upset them, they bounced back and won the next two. So there's a little bit of a historical guideline there When you saw you, I was in the Swans rooms after the game in that grand final and they were just heartbroken. So I expect if they get there again, they'll be very hard to beat.
Now, another one of your former teams, the Dogs, ticking over very nicely. Another win on the weekend against the Brisbane Lions. Luke Beveridge, you'd have to be coach of the year at this stage because a lot of people had the Doggies penciled in for the wooden spoon. They could still push for a finals berth.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Nick. They were absolutely outstanding. I know the Lions have been undermanned and not at their best, but they've come back off the bye. We saw Richmond come back off the bye and really struggle, but the Bulldogs have regrouped. They've got a young team, so the bye was perfect for them, as I think it'll be for the Giants this weekend. But they absolutely belted them, and Jake Stringer had kicked five, and Tom Boyd had four, which is his best performance so far. So they're really humming along nicely. And as you say, Luke Beveridge, he's in my mind, he's got the coach of the year wrapped up already. And if you look at their draw going into the back half of the season, they have got probably 8 or 9 very winnable games because, of course, they finished in the bottom six last year, like the Giants did and like Carlton did. They get to play teams from the top six only once. So I'm not sure who the team is from the top six they play only once, but they tend to play a whole group of teams from the bottom six twice, which gives them a real favourable position heading into the back end of the year.
Yeah, so that's the way the draw's set up. It is the most even competition for that very reason. Obviously, there's a few complaints about it because teams don't all play each other twice, but that's